Now, the kingdom of God is a love kingdom. It's a father and his beloved children. Amen. And everything God does for us out of his love. Love, and to strengthen it, he made it a covenant. So we don't, God put the covenant there not because he couldn't have just done it out of and said it's out of my love, but covenants are things that men understand. Hallelujah. So it's a covenant love. It doesn't fail. Amen. It's not designed to fail. God called us the children of his love. Amen. And he translated us when he delivered us from the power of darkness. When we got saved, he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That word dear means love son or beloved son. Amen. So that's what we are. Amen. Now, we were dealing with families, and we had talked a lot about family and all of that. And there was one thing that I left out. Now, I'm going to run through some of the stuff that we talked about. What I mean is I'm just going to go line by line. I'm not going to go into details. We talked about that the word of God must be first place, right? And what? Final authority. Number two is that your marriage must be Christ-centered and kingdom advancement driven or focused. Number three is that both of you should seek the kingdom of God, amen, together. Otherwise, if your marriage is not profitable to the kingdom of God, both of you are going to become dissatisfied. It's a spiritual thing. Hallelujah. Now, number four is that we should love one another. Amen. Love is critical to our walk with God. And for the things of God to work for us, there is a need for us to know the love of God. If we do not understand the love of God, some things are going to be difficult after a while because you cannot understand why it should work. That's what the Bible says, that faith worketh by love. Amen? Because there comes a time when you can begin to exercise your faith, you get up to a point and you're wondering, how is he going to do this? Why would he even want to do it? Hallelujah. So God's love helps us to handle all of that. And in the family, praise the Lord. Now, we live in a society where people can be very selfish, not because they intended to be selfish, but they were trained that way. Hallelujah. Now, there are things that may look very good here. I'm going to use, like in the Middle East, in Africa, in Asia, that's Far East, praise the Lord. Family in a lot of these places is practically everything. In the Far East, you have great-grand, parents, their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren living together. Everybody in the same, you know, community, as it were, and all of that. We said that the love of God is a choice. Amen? I'm trying to settle on love because what I'm going to talk about today, which is the last part of it, is family, extended family. The person you married did not fall from the sky. Hallelujah. So out of love, you're supposed to encourage one another with kind and uplifting words in your marriage. Now, somebody says, but, you know, I mean, I'll do that. But sometimes some things have come out of frustration or whatever that I never intended. Praise the Lord. You take it back. How do you take it back? You apologize. Amen. Learn how to ask for forgiveness. Amen. And that brings us to number six, says to be willing to acknowledge and ask for forgiveness when you are wrong. Hallelujah. Don't be too proud to do that. Number seven is to be reasonable, be humble, mutually submitted to God's word. That's where you have mutual submission in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, where it talks about mutual submission. Number eight is that the wife should submit herself to her own husband as unto the Lord. And all these things are done in line with the word of God. Amen? So And number nine is that the husband should seek to honor his wife. Amen. Respect her as the weaker vessel. Hallelujah. You love yourself. You respect yourself. Now, if you don't respect yourself, still respect your wife. Amen. Number 10, communication is vital. Hallelujah. Your wife is not a furniture. Your husband is no furniture in the home. You need to talk. And when things are going wrong, don't keep bottling it up. And, you know, and sometimes to express anger in what you said is not a bad thing. If you use a wrong word because you were angry, take it back. Repent. The Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. The world says if you express anger at all, you have anger issues. It's not, there's nothing wrong with being angry. It's what you do when you're angry that is the thing. Okay. So talk to one another. Amen? Try to be on the same page concerning stuff. And try to make sure that what you're trying to send across is what got there. You know, sometimes we talk and one person just comes, starts off the conversation and closes the conversation and concludes what both of us have agreed. It's not true. Allow the other person to say what they feel about what you've just said. So, communication is vital. Say something nice. Don't criticize only. All right? Show the person you appreciate the person. Amen? And love deliberately. And love is communicated with words first, then the actions. All those things are communication. Amen? Pray. Number 11 is that you should pray for your marriage. Amen? Pray for the success of your marriage. Pray that God will put into it all that it needs to be successful. Then plan your finances. Pray about it. Speak God's word over your finances. Hallelujah. Don't speak death to your finances, just like you don't speak death to your marriage. Remember that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen? So, and let the person who is stronger in that area manage it. Don't do something because another couple are doing it. Do it because that's what is applicable in your situation. Number 13, family prayer time and Bible study is vital for every home. It is said that the family that prays together does what? Stays together. Pray together. Pray for your family. Now, even if you're single, pray for your larger family, your siblings, your mom, your dad. Pray for them. Pray for their children. Pray for your would-be spouse and your children. Sow some seed of prayer. The number 14 is that you should train up your children in the things of God, in the fear of the Lord, nurturing them up in the things of the Lord. And we talked about the fact that's number 15 now, and share assignments with each other concerning your abilities, amen? Sometimes the woman is better at disciplining children than a man. And if that is the situation in your home, allow her to handle discipline. And in handling discipline, both of you must be on the same page. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you will spoil the children. Because once they can find out that one person does not agree with what you're calling discipline, they think that one person is abusive while the other person is loving. At least for a season. And then we said, be reserved. Number 16, be reserved in your interaction with others of opposite sex. It demonstrates respect for your spouse and that you're honoring them. Keep some space. Respectable distance. Number 17, we talked about, didn't we talk about it? Yeah, we talked about, I think, or Pastor Beatrice talked about it. I'm not sure. Mutual sexual satisfaction. Seek to satisfy each other sexually and not deprive each other. This is wrong and unproductive. In fact, counterproductive. It can destroy your marriage. You're fasting all the time. You're in the spirit all the time. You're not in the mood all the time. When are you in the mood? Or it's always at that point that you bring out the list of all the things he's done wrong. So you see, you did this Thursday. I was just watching you. You did this Friday night. I was just watching you. And the other day you were looking at Janet somehow. I was watching you. Now it's time for payback. And you refused to do the laundry on Wednesday. Now you go do the laundry now. All those things are not okay. Hallelujah. Talk about it. Some things that happen to people before they get married, they don't say anything because everybody's, you're just shy, you don't want to talk. See, marriage will open your eyes. You say, love is blind, marriage will open your eyes. Yeah. Talk about it. It's not like a Walmart purchase. After 30 days, you can take it back. It doesn't work that way. We talked about holding positive confession about your marriage and your finances and all of that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, your extended family. Some people don't realize that the person they're married to was raised by someone and they still love them. The Bible does tell us that for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Is that not true? But we also know that the same Bible tells us how that Moses' father-in-law brought his wife to him because he had sent her back because he was busy with the assignment of the Lord. And in the course of time, when he brought her back, he watched what he was doing and was able to give him advice that helped Israel and is helping the church today. So all those people are vital in your life. And it starts with who gives this person to be married. If you call your dad on the phone and say, I'm getting married, I need you to be there. You need to say that. Assuming he says, yeah, you can get married. It doesn't matter. Can I see his picture? The guy pops in on the FaceTime, says, oh, all right, I'm with you. No questions asked, nothing. Say, no, I need you to be there. Honor them, even if they were not there for you. When you have children, the way you handle your parents is the way they're going to handle you, because they learn by observation. And when you honor them, the Bible says that two things will happen to you. It will be well with you, and you will live a long time upon the earth. So in some cases, you find that it's usually the men that suffer this casualty of their own family not being accepted as much as the wife's family, because the women are the ones who run the homes. Don't do that. In a proper family, before you came in, you went for a job interview. When they took you to introduce you to your mother-in-law, you put your best attitude forward. Am I correct? We are godly people. We are the restorer of the breach. When we see things that are wrong, we correct it. I say, you don't know my mother-in-law. My mom, she's crazy. Both of you will go see your crazy mom. Because during the family reunions, these people are going to show up. These in-laws you're running from, they're going to show up. And you can, you know, what I'm dealing with has to do with every, you know, you can have married somebody who has been the one helping the household. When you come in, don't interfere with it. But read it, but don't come in and start shutting down everything. Because there are kingdom principles involved in everything you see. It's only when you don't, I'm talking about kingdom, you're married to somebody who's a Christian and all of that. Givers don't lack. And the Bible encourages, even when the person is a nephew, to take care of a widow and aunt that is in his family. Hallelujah. So if you see them doing that, don't come in and start saying you're wasting money. The money is for us. The money is for God. Especially if it's prosperous, the day you shut it down, God would need to move that grace to some other person who will take care of everybody. Except you don't know that that's what's going on. But I'm explaining it to you. Hallelujah. His mom is sick. He drives all the way. So we're going to go see her. It's honor. And let the children see what you're doing. That's why you find a lot of lonely people in the West. You see an elderly person. If you say hello, wow, they will engage you. You're not going anywhere that day. Why? They have nobody to talk to. And it's not like they don't have family. That lonely person could be a rich uncle. When he dies, everybody gathers because they want. A believer is not a termite. We're not there to eat people down. We love people, even when they're not giving us anything. We love them. We share God's nature with people. We love people. You know, here people don't take the responsibility of taking care of their elderly ones. What, they just ship them off to a nursing home and leave them there? I didn't say all of them are not okay. Find out from the person. They have daycares for adults. You say, somebody's going to have to pay for that. In a proper family, you plan a lot of things. Amen? If it's an extra sacrifice, you make it and see what God will do. Honor them that he may be what? Well with you. That wellness is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You're not going to be less prosperous because you did that. You will prosper because they will pray over you, even if they're not Christians. What they say, God hears it. God is a God of order, and his order is in love. Because remember that you're going to be in that position tomorrow. Being an elderly person is turn by turn. Tomorrow is going to be your turn. What would you want people to do for you, your children? What would you want them to do for you? That's what you ought to be doing concerning your parents now. Some people don't call their parents at all. Years will come and go. In fact, their parents can relocate and they don't know. We shouldn't raise people that have no human empathy. They have no compassion. Hallelujah. So what you do with your folks is important. If you run into bad times, you should be able to find family somewhere. But America is a place where sometimes you can't even find anybody anywhere. And some of them say, oh, we don't want them to know what's going on with us and all of that. And sometimes church comes in between. Family is family. God put you in that family without your permission. He planned it from the foundation of the world. Keep it together. Amen? Keep it together. Talk to them. Find out where they are. Preach the gospel to them. Because if God raised you in that family, he intends to save the family. through you. Even if they don't listen to you, they will, from what God has done in your life, believe him for their own lives. In any family where God has saved one person, God intends to save everybody there. He'll save us and our household. And through the promises of God, we can redeem some things. Maybe you're in a family and, you know, your children are, you know, this is America. Lord, maybe the African-American families, you have their sons in jail and all of that kind of thing. Listen, stand on the word of God. Begin to, because our God is a miracle-working God. And there is nobody that God cannot change. Nobody. With God, all things are possible. All things. Even if you lost everything, you can still go to God. In an open field, on a chair, out there on a park somewhere, you can call on God. And he will hear you. I have done so many things wrong. No, still go to God. God would rather you came to him than that you did anything else. As long as he comes into your mind, thank God that he came into your mind. Go to him. There is nobody that will call upon the name of the Lord that will fail, except you did it.